The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
So I went above and beyond, and I hired a private tutor to come sit with the children at home and make sure that they were sitting down with their cameras on and paying attention. I tried different things. I tried setting up a desk in their bedroom. Nothing was working.
So during the pandemic, this mom pivoted and pulled her preschooler, fourth grader, and eighth grader out of public school and put them into a Catholic school.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be with you. We'll talk about this exodus. There was a New York Times story on how people are leaving public schools. Now look, my sister-in-law is a public school teacher, right? I've got another cousin who teaches in Catholic school. I mean, I see both sides of the of what's happening there. But indoctrination of our kids in these schools, I think, is the key factor in driving a lot of parents to say, enough is enough. I want my kids educated in a different medium or different forum. We'll talk about it coming up. We'll get into that issue a little bit later. But the New York Times reporting today, mass public school exodus underway. And if you're thinking about sending your kids to school, or maybe you are reaching your breaking point, you're going to want to stay tuned to that conversation. It's well worth listening to. There's a lot of news out there. We'll also talk, coming up in just a second or two, the latest with COVID and ticks. They say the tick season this year is going to be really bad. And if you have a meat allergy, you might want to listen to the connection between that and ticks. And I don't know if you heard of monkeypox. No, you probably haven't. I'll fill you in on that and a whole lot more. So feel free to join us anytime. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. The Department of Homeland Security. Did you see that? Hear about that memo that was obtained by Axios.com? It says that the DHS is concerned about an outbreak of violence whenever the Dobbs decision is handed down. We've already seen, of course, this happen in churches and pro-life groups. I reported on that last week. Ever since the leaked draft got out, I've been trying to give you analysis of what's happening. The DHS memo is warning of groups that have threatened to burn down the court building, even to murder justices and clerks. And I just want to pause on this. Like, we're not to be afraid. Right? I'm praying that this is just rhetoric. But again, this is such a pivotal and key moment. And I've said this before, and I say it again because I look at it through the eyes of my faith. At the very heart of what we're seeing in our culture today is something very dark, very sinister, and ultimately evil. That's what it is. It's downright evil. This is Satan's high holy sacrament, abortion. He hates the family. He hates life. Right? That is exactly what's at the heart of this. That's where we're seeing threats like the burning of the court building and the murder of justices. Who ever thought you'd hear something like that in the United States of America unless it's over something like abortion, right? No one called for the justices to be attacked, or the Supreme Court to be burned down right after the Obergefell decision, right? When we redefined marriage in this country. You don't see pro-lifers on the streets threatening to do this type of stuff. But you see what's animating and driving this divisive spirit that is in our country. I'm going to tell you something right now. You mark my words. Abortion is coming to an end in this country. Roe will fall. One day, life will be upheld and protected from the moment of conception all the way through natural death. Might take a little bit of time. I may not see it all in my lifetime, but we're making our way there. We're praying here at Relevant, right? We're doing those memoraries, millions of them, hundreds of millions of them banked. We are on our way to seeing just an incredible event, the draft of Dobbs that was leaked. Very telling. You know, they'd really have to radically change that. I don't see that happening. But we know that the battle continues at the state level. I'll talk about that coming up a little bit later because there's good news out there. And I think when it comes to life, it's not always negative. A little bit later, Clark Forsythe will be stopping by. We are seeing right now unbelievable expansion of pro-life bills in the country. 273 bills introduced in 2022 alone, right? 144 bills introduced the year before that. Right now, these bills contain a total of 600 pro-life provisions. And I'll plug in. We're winning. You are on the right side of history if you are a pro-lifer. If you believe that life is sacred and that it begins at the moment of conception, we're winning. you know, we got these radicals, right? The memo from DHS says that some, you know, radically or ethnically motivated violent extremist, you know, embrace, you know, of these narratives may be linked to the perception of wanting to save children and fight white genocide. I'm like, what? How does this become racist? How does everything become racist? Right now, even this decision is going to be racist. Nice try, DHS. It's not going to stick. You know, there's good news out there. We'll talk about it coming up a little later. I just want to put that on your radar. And when you hear these stories, by the way, I'll say it to you again. I mean, I don't say take this lightly. Even a simple memorare or a simple Jesus have mercy. Invoke God's mercy. Ask the protection of the patroness of life, the mother of God. Pray for the conversion of these people who are lost. They're your brother. They're your sisters, right? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for their conversion. They certainly need it, and we'll pray for protection and just for God's mercy, period. You know, the Biden administration, there's some news with this disinformation governance board. I don't know if you heard about that. disinformation governance board. It's so silly, the news I sometimes have to cover here. I mean, it's crazy. Well, good news, it's fallen flat on its face. It was announced 3 weeks ago. We talked about what it really meant. A lot of people immediately compared it to George Orwell's dystopia novel. Remember 1984? You might have had to read it in school. You might have read it. You know, he had this ministry of truth in it, and that's what people compared it to. And then they started digging into who was appointed the director of this, Anina Jankowicz. And apparently she made statements in the past supporting the suppression of free speech. So just anybody who just wants to think objectively, do you want the head of a disinformation governance board to be somebody who is supportive of suppressing speech? I don't think so. That's a major red flag, right? So she expressed concern over what she called free speech absolutists, right? And included Elon Musk in that category. She did an interview with NPR, and she said this. She says, quote, I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists were taking over the platform, what that would look like for marginalized communities around the world. So as a result of it, now she's resigned from her post. DHS has suspended the whole idea of the board for now, and I'm sure they'll try something like that again. But you know, the government already has agencies that should be fighting against this type of stuff as it is. So anyway, that's another victory, right? It's another win. It's a win for speech. It's a win for freedom in our country. You know, life is winning. Speech is winning. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Our religious liberties are in the crosshairs. That's the big battle I've been talking about as well. We're going to see more of that. But, you know, the other thing we need to do, and I want to look at this a little bit later. So if you've got kids in school, if you're a big Disney fan, we're going to take a look at what's happening in the culture. Fox Business, they were reporting earlier today that Disney released a new clothing line. And I've been talking a lot about Disney ever since the situation erupted down in Florida. Governor DeSantis had a parental rights bill. He wanted, you know, made into law, and Disney went nuts. And the nation redubbed that bill, Don't Say Gay. We've talked about it, right? It has nothing to do with that. The word's not even in it, right? It wants just to protect kids who are, you know, kindergarten to third grade, so they're not indoctrinated with this type of gender ideology. Well, Disney, they're all in. I don't know who their management is right now, who their marketing team is, or why they think this is going to really resonate. They have a new clothing line for kids. It came out on Monday that features the Rainbow Pride flag printed on T-shirts, on baby clothes, on bracelets, on sweaters, on socks, on backpacks. You name it. It's on all these other items, right? So several of the products incorporate the flag's colors with characters like Mickey Mouse. They also have these pride-themed Star Wars, you know, and Marvel. We talked about Marvel yesterday and Pixar. You know, some of the selections are available. And this is what they said. I want to read their statement, okay? Said, and I quote, "The Disney Pride Collection was created by the LGBTQIA plus employees and their allies at Walt Disney Company, and is a reflection of their incredible contribution and place at the heart of the company. We stand in solidarity with our LGBTQIA plus community everywhere." You know, when I read that, and, you know, LGBT, I got that much. Q, I get that. IA plus. I mean, I'm not quite sure what all of these letters signify. I know there's a lot of them. There's probably many, many more. I just think of Walt Disney, right? I mean, think about the founder, his vision. I mean, how would he feel right now about what's happening with this company? It appears people are buying the lies, and I think it's just bad business because Disney's stock, and I talked about this briefly yesterday, but their stock is down 34% this year. Disney stock. Hey, you know who else's stock is down? Take a guess. Target. Good old Target. Target stock is down significantly. They were actually the main driver of yesterday's rout on the Dow. It lost, I think, a quarter of its value in one day. Not a good day to hold that stock, right? Their earnings were well below what analysts were expecting. And the loss impacted truck companies because that means you're not going to be moving as much product to those retail stores to sell, right? You see the ripple effect of this. Netflix, you might have already dumped Netflix. Netflix is hemorrhaging as well. They're taking a beating after losing more than 200,000 subscribers. People are dumping Netflix. They've had layoffs there as well. You know, they had forecasts for losing about 2 million more in the next quarter. That's a lot. That's a lot of subscribers. So they're getting a lot of competition from a number of other streaming services. But I think people are also just fed up with some of the garbage, some of the agenda that they are putting out. And, you know, it even, we got a platform that even normalizes teenage suicide. It's terrible, you know. So let me leave it at that. I'm going to go ahead and just put that on your radar. That's some news. I think the battle, the ideological battle, the battle for life, the battle against good and evil is raging. And I'm always going to stand on the side of good. Because that's the winning side, that's for sure. Hey, I want to bring you up to speed on where we are, too, with the pandemic and where we are with ticks and where we are with a lot of other issues. I don't know if you heard about monkeypox. We can talk about that, too. I'm getting the sense that people are done with COVID. I don't know how you are. Are you glad it's behind you? Are you disappointed you're not wearing a mask anymore? Maybe you're mad you got to go to work. I don't know. It's a little wild. It's been going on for so long. It's disrupted so many lives for so long. I know you probably just want it to be over. People want life to resume. It's the spring is here, right? Warmer weather's upon us. People want life to be back. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who the mainstream media, they claim he's the nation's top infectious disease expert. He says that we might be in for more trouble. Yeah, that's not good news, right? Why? New variants, he says. He told CBS that no one's saying whether this is now endemic, you know, we're out of the pandemic, it's simply endemic, or whether it's here to stay, or the pandemic, you know, we still might be in a pandemic because we still might see other variants rise, right? Here's the latest on COVID that's happening across the country. This report comes from ABC News.
New cases of COVID now rising to the highest point since mid-February in this country, and daily hospital admissions are now projected to rise in nearly every corner of the nation over the next 4 weeks. The CDC again recommending wearing masks indoors. Tonight, New York City at the highest risk level. The mayor saying put on the masks indoors, but not requiring it yet. Tonight, 48 states now are projected to see hospitalizations rise in the coming weeks, and raising these risk levels means they're already seeing hospitals and healthcare systems under increasing pressure and a rising death toll. The White House tonight warning that without additional funding from Congress, not everyone will get new vaccines if a new surge strikes this fall, as they expect. And tonight here, the CDC could soon give the green light for Pfizer booster shots for children 5 to 11 as soon as tomorrow.
So what are we going to see? That's the big question. This summer, I think things will go down. But will we see a major spike again in the fall? Right. And you know, we can talk vaccines, too. I mean, you hear about kids now, age 5, you know, getting the green light to be able to get Moderna and some of the other vaccinations that are out there. Are there moral alternatives? Is COVID endemic in our culture now, or are we still really in the, we're not out of the pandemic woods? I'm joined today by Dr. Robert Tabali. He's an adult and pediatric infectious disease doc out of the great city of Chicago, actually the burbs of Chicago. And he's guided us through COVID for a long time. We'll talk COVID today. We'll talk ticks and Lyme, too. It's a season where you really got to be careful with your pets and yourself. And I'll share with you a personal story coming up. But Dr. Tabali joins us once again. Doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you, Drew. It's an exciting summer as we move on to from COVID and we get to deal with a smallpox like infection, monkeypox.
Yeah, I didn't talk monkeypox yet. So you want to start with that? You know, I've never heard of it before.
A lot of people,
and
a lot of people might.
Go ahead, Doc.
A lot of people might remember back in 2003, there were monkeypox cases all over the United States that were associated with a business here in the Chicagoland area, Phil's Pocket Pets in Villa Park, Illinois, which is where Portillo started. But they imported prairie dogs illegally and Gambianese rats, which are about the size of a dog.
Wow.
And the Gambianese rats had the monkeypox, and they gave it to the prairie dogs, and they would sell these prairie dogs as little pets, you know, unusual pets. And about 16 people from, like, 10 different states got monkeypox at that time. And that was, it's a lot like smallpox. It causes bigger blistering and such than does things like chickenpox. There's a couple of different variants of this illness, some that have a high death rate of about 10%. And what's spreading right now is not that variant. The one that's spreading right now is a death rate of about 1%.
Wow.
But it's mostly in Europe right now, but we have our first case here in the United States in a returning traveler from Canada. And they've got several pockets of infection among gay and bisexual men, and they're worried about that kind of exploding the transmission. But infection.
Why the gay community? Why is there an incidence in them and not the heterosexual population?
It may turn out to be transformed into the heterosexual population, but as an AIDS doctor, I'm aware that. Yeah. There are many gay men that congregate together and, can be very close to one another. And
yeah.
They have a high contact rate with other people.
Right.
Is
this sexually transmitted as well? I mean, what do we know about it? How's it transmitted?
Droplets and skin-to-skin contact. So it may be sexually transmitted, but more likely they're close enough so that they're breathing each other's respiratory droplets. This is an illness that masking would help prevent, as opposed to COVID. But masking would help. But there's about 40 cases in Europe right now, and they anticipate it's going to exponentially rise because how broadly distributed it is around Europe.
Well, we have one case in Massachusetts, right? That's the one we have here in the States right now. So I'm sure officials are monitoring it pretty closely.
Yeah, and somebody who flew back from Toronto to Massachusetts. So I'm sure they're going to try to identify everybody who's come in contact with that person and have them quarantined for a few weeks. From start to finish, it takes about 7 to 10 days for the infection to present itself, and then it takes 2 to 4 weeks to get over it.
Okay. When it comes to COVID, Doctor, Anthony Fauci's, again saying, hey, you might see a big uptick in the fall. What do you expect for the months ahead? Are we out of the pandemic forest, so to speak, out of the woods? Are we now endemic? Where are we with COVID and these other variants? Because there are reports coming in, as you may have heard in the package we ran, of increased hospitalizations and a rise in cases.
Yeah, we had a huge surge with the Omicron variant a few months ago, and then we were in my area, we were completely dormant with COVID. And in the past 3 or 4 weeks, we've had a kind of a surge of COVID. And there's been some hospitalizations, but mostly people got the COVID. It was rather mild. They either had natural immunity, vaccine-related immunity, or they didn't get that sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that I saw admitted to the hospital, we had about a half a dozen people. The average age was like 85. And they all did reasonably well. They were vaccinated. They all did reasonably well and were discharged. We didn't have anybody go to the ICU, nobody on a ventilator. That's just my small experience. But I think we're really reaching a point.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that everybody's going to catch COVID multiple times. And each successive time you get it, it's going to be less and less of a problem.
Yeah.
It's the first pass phenomenon. That's a worst case scenario. If you never had it, never been vaccinated, then that's where you run into trouble, especially if you have risk factors.
Yeah.
But I personally don't think that vaccinating children's a good idea. Because they have very mild cases of it, unless they have significant immunocompromise, you know, like a cancer patient, an organ transplant patient. Those kids should definitely be vaccinated. But, you know, if you've got a 2 or 3 year old or a 5 or 6 year old, you know, and they're otherwise healthy and no problems,
so
you know, I personally wouldn't vaccinate.
Outside of vaccination, I mean, I think Fauci and others are making a case that we might go back to masking again if we see a continued rise. Your thoughts on masking? I'm sure it's up to the individual if it makes them feel comfortable, but your thought on whether or not that's effective at all?
I don't believe it's effective at all for COVID. It's effective for a lot of other illnesses like influenza, the monkeypox, and so on, these droplet droplet conveyed viruses, but the COVID is clearly an aerosol. It's
right,
lighter
right.
than air. It floats in the air. It's a small particle. The masks aren't really helpful. And you know, in the hospital where I work, the nurses are basically, when they congregate in the nursing area, they take their mask off, and then they see me walk on. They all put the mask back on. Because I'm the mask police, but everybody's had it with the masks, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, interesting, I don't know if you saw this yet, but Dr. Fauci's wife, who's head of bioethics at the National Institutes of Health, her name is Christine Grady, she just co-authored a paper entitled, she's a bioethicistician, The Ethics of Encouraging Employees to Get the COVID-19 Vaccination. And basically, in this, they came up with this study. Their findings were that it's okay to pressure employees to get the vaccination by whatever means necessary, and also to use embarrassment to personally embarrass people to get the vaccination.
And she's an ethicist.
That's and that's bioethics at work,
That's interesting. Hey, I only have a few minutes, and I know you're an expert also on Lyme's. And if anybody has Lyme's disease or is battling that with those type of tick bites, get a hold of Dr. Tabali. Website is germbusters.com. I thought of you, doctor, because I saw this story that health officials are now saying that the Lone Star Tick is transmitting something called the alpha-gal syndrome. I don't really know a whole lot about that, but apparently if you get bit by this, you become allergic to red meat. It's sometimes even dairy. You might have now like a dairy intolerance. And hours after eating it, people break out in hives and you know, itching and swelling and redness and gastrointestinal distress. There have been reports right now in Arkansas and Virginia, Kentucky, I think it's Oklahoma and Missouri. I don't know where else it's spreading right now, but what do you know about this? True story. I mean, I was in my home. We've got our dog, you know, Scout was out running around the yard, and next thing you know, I see like a tick crawling on me. I was on my back, and I'm like, where did that come from? Did it come off the dog? Did it come out of the yard? I got rid of it right away. But I'm thinking, man, I've read a report about a week or two ago that says tick season this year is going to be very, very bad. Your thoughts on where we are, best way to protect ourselves, and whether or not a lot of these food allergies might be tick-borne?
Well, I don't know about food allergies being tick-borne. That's yet to be seen or proven. But, you know, this Lone Star tick is present in a band-like area from Oklahoma and I can't remember the name of the state that's north of Oklahoma right now, but in a band going east through Illinois, Mississippi, all the way through Virginia, New York State. And it's named because it's got a white dot on the back. It's a brown tick and it's got a white dot, and it's one of the bigger ticks. It's not the tiny ones that transmit Lyme, but there is a treatment for it that can desensitize somebody to the food allergy, but it's an expensive medication that, in my experience, insurance companies would never approve. It originally came out, it's called Xolair, originally came out for treating severe asthma.
So, doctor, is there a connection? Let me just jump in for a second here on this, because I'm curious. If a person becomes allergic to red meat or dairy and they've been bitten by this, does this alpha-gal syndrome, is there a connection between that tick bite and this intolerance?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a antigen in the saliva of the tick. The tick bites you, and it injects saliva prevents the blood from clotting, keeps the blood flowing. But there's something in that saliva that sensitizes the immune system to cross-react with red meat proteins. And once you get bit by the tick, you know, this is a big tick, so most people would see it or feel it. They wouldn't know that it's there, but if they're scratching, they would feel it with their other hand. The sensitization of meat can be rather quick, you know, within a week, within a couple of days of having the bite of the tick. And the tick doesn't have to stay on for a long time for it to happen.
Wow.
It's a pretty freaky phenomenon, but it's not like it's thousands and thousands and thousands of patients yet. I mean, there's hundreds of patients that have had this, but, you know, this might be something that they could turn their attention to the research money to try to figure out a way to block it, because it's going to become more and more prevalent, more and more of a problem. And I don't want to go vegan yet. I don't want to be a vegetarian.
All right. Well, hey, doctor, I got to hold it right there. I'm grateful for your time. And people want to get a hold of you if they are battling Lyme's. I know you've helped a lot of people. Of course, we're grateful for your guidance when it comes to COVID as well. Germbusters.com. That's the best way to track you down.
That's the best way, germbusters.com.
Thanks for making time with us. Always good to talk with you. That's Dr. Robert Tavoli. Stay with me, though. When I return, we'll change gears. New York Times reporting something that should, get your antenna up. There's a mass exodus out of public schools. We'll look at why.
All the issues, one place.
One place.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Good to be back with you. We'll pray the chaplain coming up in about 30 minutes. So tell one other person, make sure they join us. Hey, if you have kids in school, are you happy with the education? If you are thinking about sending your kid to school, maybe they're getting ready to enter. Have you given thought to homeschooling, to Catholic education, to some sort of charter school, to public school? How have you weighed it all out? I saw a stunning report today from the New York Times, and I thought I'd share it with you. Ever since the pandemic started, as you probably know, public schools have been really in a state of disarray, right? Despite the fact that kids were, you know, as we know from Dr. Tavoli and others, they're not as susceptible to this virus as it was scientifically shown. You know, a lot of people were very concerned that, oh my gosh, we send our kids to school, they're all going to get it. That was not the case. It didn't spread in the classroom settings. And, you know, but teachers' unions, a lot of them demanded that the teachers stay out of the classroom until the children had all been vaccinated. That meant, of course, that, look, the schools were closed. It brought a lot of chaos into people's lives. It meant that in households where both people worked, with the, you know, a lot of parents said, hey, you know, we sent our kids to school and somebody's there to meet them when they come home. They were off. Let their kid be in school most of the day. Suddenly that didn't happen. Pandemic hit. Suddenly one parent had to stay home. It also meant that kids had to do more remote learning. And, you know, it turned out to really be a disaster. My sister-in-law teaches school. She's second grade, third grade teacher, something along those lines. And boy, it was hard for her as a teacher. You know, she had to do this remote teaching. And imagine trying to wrangle the attentions of kids when they're in your classroom, let alone now when they've got the distraction of their own home, there's a computer device in front of them. Who knows what else is going on in the house? So, you know, the education of our kids, I think, really took a shot. It really took a blow as a result of the pandemic. And the whole fiasco had serious consequences, in particular, for public schools. The New York Times is reporting that there was a decline in enrollment of 1.2 million kids. Now, I want to repeat that. There was a disenrollment, if you will, a decline in the enrollment in public schools by 1.2 million kids since 2020. New York City lost 50,000 children. The entire state of Michigan, they lost about the same amount. California has dropped 250,000 since 2019. So the exodus has been happening even before the pandemic hit. So was it the pandemic that drove these numbers up, this 1.2 million number? No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of factors at work here. I mean, there's a lot of factors. You know, we have this general chaos, right? You think about how school is. You know, the fact that kids were masked, even though the scientific evidence said, you know, you probably shouldn't put the mask on the kids. They had developmental problems. They had trouble understanding each other and teachers. There were other factors, though, that have contributed to parents taking their kids out of public school because of the remote learning. You know, a lot of parents, they're sitting in the house with the kid as the teacher's, you know, conducting the class, and they're thinking, you're teaching my kid what? Right? Are you kidding me? This is what you're teaching them? They saw what their kids were being taught. They didn't like it. That's why these parents went to these school board meetings. They started showing up, and of course, it made headlines, right? When parents realized, look what you're indoctrinating my kid with, and they gave the board members a piece of their mind. I think it was really telling. I think COVID was good for education in some respects. I mean, okay, how we are competing on the world scale, we're down. Did it hurt, you know, kids? Yes. But the big picture view, I think in the end, there's going to be some good that comes from this. There was the other reason for, I think, the exodus out of public schools, there's just a general demographic decline of kids. We're losing the younger population because this is something nobody's talking about, but I want to talk about it. We're losing them because of two things. One, we're aborting our kids. There's fewer of them. And secondly, we're contracepting. We're doing this. We're contracepting and aborting our kids out of existence. A lot of different factors going on here. Public school attendance has dropped across the country. It's not just New York. It's not just California. It's not just Michigan. But it has also coincided, and this is telling, with the rise of attendance in Catholic schools. Catholic schools are on the rise. Here's a report out of Pittsburgh. This comes from KTLA News. Is this Pittsburgh or is this LA? This is LA. LA. KTLA is giving us this package. Check it out.
Take a good look at this Catholic school. There's something different during COVID, and it's not that some of the kids are wearing masks.
Goodbye.
The first time in decades, Catholic school enrollment is up. It's a trend here in Orange County and across the country.
So there was real concern, as to the sustainability in the future of particularly Catholic schools in not only in our diocese here locally, but nationwide. And the pandemic hit, and who would have thought that this was kind of the shot in the arm that we needed?
During the peak of the pandemic, when everything shut down and the mantra was safer at home with remote learning, Catholic schools in Orange County were one of the first and only to go back to the classroom.
And that was a game changer for us. And so when our public school counterparts were not able to open for in-person learning, the Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Orange, we opened on September 8th of 2020, fully in person.
And it was a game changer for parents whose kids were in public schools struggling with remote learning and failing grades.
So I went above and beyond, and I hired a private tutor to come sit with the children at home and make sure that they were sitting down with their cameras on and paying attention. I tried different things. I tried setting up a desk in their bedroom. Nothing was working.
So during the pandemic, this mom pivoted and pulled her preschooler, fourth grader, and eighth grader out of public school and put them into a Catholic school.
The virus was not at our campuses. It was not being spread student to student or teacher to student or staff member. And so our schools were safe. Families who had never even dreamed of a Catholic education for their children are now, as I said, they're embracing us and they're falling in love.
I think it's great news. I mean, it looks like Catholic schools are going to get a little, you know, boost in the old arm as well. Look, the problem I have with Catholic education, it's how expensive it is. I my heart goes out to parents who really want to give their kids Catholic education. I wish there was a way we could find a way to bring the cost down. We're seeing this trend out of public schools. I bet charter schools and other schools are also seeing a rise. I think homeschooling is probably on the rise as well. But I've spoken several times to Dr. Teresa Farnan. She wrote a book, co-authored it. It's called Get Out Now. Why you should pull your children, or let me rephrase that, why you should pull your child from public school before it's too late. And she co-founded a great website, so you can check out Person and Identity. I don't have the website for it. Yeah, personidentity.com, if my memory serves me right. Yeah, Patrick's going to look it up for me. Person Identity Project. And what it does, so I would recommend you check out this website. it gives Catholic dioceses and schools and parishes and parents, it helps equip them with the formation and the resources, you know, that they need when it comes to the issues that challenge us today, like this gender ideology, and forms them with good Christian anthropology and so many other things. So check the book out. Also check out that website, personandidentity.com. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate that. Dr. Farnan joins me today. Doctor, welcome back.
Hey, always good to be here, Drew. I love your listeners, and it's such a great show.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your website and for what you do. I remember when this book came out, I always marveled at your title. I said that to you many times, but, you know, more than ever, it seems incredibly appropriate when we see what's happening in schools. And this New York Times report, when I saw that, I thought, I've got to talk to you. I'd love your take on it. I'm assuming you've seen that report. What do you make of what the Times is reporting? And it's not just New York, it's all across the country.
Oh, it's everywhere. We're seeing it everywhere. And one thing jumped out at me was the tendency of people in public schools to regard this as just a hit that came out of nowhere. And that's not the case at all. This is a self-inflicted wound. And it is not just about COVID. It has to do with the ideology that they've been pushing on our kids from day one. And they don't get it. If they're going to make it all about COVID, they're going to still see declining numbers. The thing that your listeners need to understand is when it comes to parents' rights in education, the Supreme Court in 1926, in a case called Pierce v. the Society of Sisters, established that parents have the right to choose where their kids go to school. So the case involved one of the states that wanted to mandate compulsory attendance at public schools. And the Supreme Court said, no, if you're Catholic, which obviously the Catholic parents and the Catholic Church were opposing that. And the Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, Catholic parents can choose to send their kids to a Catholic school. But what your listeners need to understand is that that is the only right you have as parents in public education. There have been several subsequent cases that have established that you, the parent, cannot dictate or cannot even make requests about the curriculum that is being taught in your child's school. And there was even a case in Massachusetts where parents objected to books pushing transgender ideology for their preschoolers, preschool and kindergarten age kids in the public schools. And a Massachusetts judge declared that it was okay for the schools to subject kids to those books because they thought it was appropriate to try to influence children to tolerate same-sex marriage. And that's exactly what we're seeing going on with critical race theory and with gender ideology. So unfortunately, the courts and the public school system, they have created a situation where the only option parents have is to leave in the face of education that's ideologically biased, that's no longer serving the students, that is marginalizing parents. And that's exactly what you're seeing. This is probably the one thing that will save public education, ironically, is if enough parents leave, they will finally get the message.
So if this is not COVID related, how bad? How bad will this get? I mean, we're seeing this exodus out. How, you know, what will stem the tide of anything at all? Or, you know, look, we've seen this with Disney. I was mentioning a little bit earlier. Their stock is down 34%. Target, they really took a beating in the market as well. I think this ideology stuff is being pushed by this gender ideology, all the sexual indoctrination. I think it's being pushed by a narrow minority, and I think most people are just sick of it. They're fed up with it. They don't want their children indoctrinated, and they don't want it done, whether it's a classroom or whether it's watching a Disney movie or some store pushing that agenda as well. What do you see for the future? Where does this, you know, where does this go? We're going to continue to see an exodus out of these public schools.
I do. If this were COVID related at this point, because public schools have started dropping the mask mandate and have been trying to quote unquote return to normal, but at the same time, they're still pushing all of this ideology. If it were COVID related, you would see a stampede out of Catholic schools and private schools and homeschooling back into the public schools. But we're not seeing that, right? So at this point, I think public education has a choice. Are they going to be like Netflix, or are they going to be CNN Plus, right? Netflix has gotten the message from their shareholders, and they recently sent a message to their employees saying, we have to tolerate a broad diversity of viewpoints, and we can't be ideologically one-sided. CNN Plus never got that message and ended up folding.
That's
right?
So true.
And so that,
so
I think, is the choice facing public education.
Yeah. My guest today, Dr. Teresa Farnan. Doc, I have to take a short pause, okay? When we come back, we'll jump into the phones. I only have a small window before we'll stop and pray the chaplet. So if you want to get in and sound off, maybe you teach school, maybe you've pulled your kid from school. You might agree with us. You might disagree. Phones are open. Always good to hear from you. So feel free to dial in. The number here is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Connect with Drew at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're on hold, I'm going to do my very best to get you on. If you're just tuning in, we will pray the chaplet in about 10 minutes. But right now, looking at a New York Times story that talks about the decline in enrollment in public schools. 1.2 million kids since 2020. And it's not just New York. It's from New York to California. My guest today, Dr. Teresa Farnan. She is an expert on this topic. Wrote a book called Get Out Now. Well, you should pull your child from public school before it's too late. We've had her here in the past. Doctor, let's jump right into the phones because time's going to go pretty quickly here. Let's start with Mark in Phoenix, Arizona. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Mark.
Mark, go right ahead. I'm going to put him back in queue. Mark, we'll circle back to you. Sarah in Los Angeles, California. You're on with Dr. Farnan. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I worked a job where I visited many different schools in Southern California, and that experience showed me that when I had my kids, they would not go to public school from the things that I saw. So when my children came along, I put them in Catholic school, and it was great. But when COVID hit, their Catholic school shut down. We live in L.A. County. And I made the decision to move both my children to schools in Orange County, the Catholic schools, because they were in person and could provide the normalcy of a regular school day that I couldn't get at the Catholic school in LA County. And it's 25 miles away from where we live, but it's been well worth it.
Wow.
And we continued with that school, even though that their original school opened back up just out of fear of further shutdowns later down the line.
That's great. Sarah, thank you for
Just to comment, I'm a Catholic school parent, and our experience is that the families that make that jump, that jump into Catholic schools, are realizing they're seeing a whole new different product. They're seeing that commitment to stay open, and they're staying because it's been a very transformative experience. I'm sad whenever I hear of a Catholic school that doesn't reopen. I don't know what the local factors were, but I know certainly for us here in Pennsylvania, there was just a real sense of determination that if we don't get these schools open, we will never reopen, right? And so everyone made it happen.
Doctor, is there empirical evidence that points to the fact that a Catholic school education is better than public or not so? I mean, I know we have got concerns about what our kids are being exposed to at very formative stages of their development, but do Catholic school kids, those who go to private or charter schools, do they perform better academically? Do they have higher success rates, earn more money? What do you know? Have you done any research in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's look at two major factors. First, the most important thing for us as Catholic parents is, will our kids still be practicing their faith? And there's data coming out of the CARA Center in Georgetown. The kids who go through Catholic schools, through high school, are far more likely to be still going to Mass every Sunday than their counterparts who were in the public school. And it's a little bit more attenuated if you only put your kids in a grade school. Those extra 4 years of Catholic high school really make a difference. But it's dramatic. It's something like, I mean, the Mass statistics overall for Catholics are still low, but it's something like comparing 40% to like less than 5%. I mean, that's a pretty stark difference. And then in terms of academic results, I mean, obviously it's a little bit more difficult when you're comparing suburban schools to suburban Catholic schools. You're going to see kids who do well in both populations. But when you compare kids in Catholic schools who are from disadvantaged neighborhoods to their counterparts in the public school, you are going to see just stark performance differences where the graduation rate is high. You're going to see them going on to college. I mean, a good example would be the Cristo Rey High School in Detroit, which was, you know, boasting about 100% of their kids or 98% of their kids going on to college. Wow. And these are kids from really poor backgrounds. So
fantastic.
There's no question it's been, you know, it's worth every penny.
Mark in Phoenix, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Hi, Mark.
Quick comment about Catholic education.
Yeah.
We went to a school Mass before our oldest was going to go to school, and that was, for me, the turning point. I wasn't Catholic at the time. The school Mass was led by second graders, and the second grader got up and read from the book of Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
I was floored by how well this second grader spoke in front of a large group of people.
Wow.
Second point, Drew, you said Catholic education is expensive.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Our youngest of five just graduated from high school, and I roughly guesstimated we spent probably $300,000
wow.
in tuition.
Wow.
But it's been so worth it.
Yeah.
All of our kids have gone to college. Our second child earned $750,000 in scholarships.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. Mark, you're right. And Dr. Farnan, I'll let you respond to him as well. I mean, I have five children. I sent them all through Catholic grade school, through Catholic high school. It's expensive. You know, there are schools that will give you a break if you have, you know, three kids in at the same time, or there could be some sort of tax credits. There are ways that schools can work with parents of the big families. I know that I don't want to scare people away from it. I think if you can give your kid a Catholic school education, it's going to be great. Mark left a comment in the field. He says Catholic education is expensive, but ignorance is more expensive. And I just love that. Doctor, I'll let you sound off.
Yeah, I agree. That has always been the sticking point. And I'll tell you what, I have found over the years that most dioceses have been amazing in moving heaven and earth to not deny any child who expresses an interest in coming to a Catholic school an education. They will find the way, but you have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to make sacrifices. I'm driving an old car. I'm not going to Disney World. But, you know, I'm going to put the money in. And when they see that kind of effort, they will definitely work with you. But the other point, though, is, hey, it's imperative on all of us to help make this happen, whether it's advocating for school choice or vouchers, because we cannot leave kids in these failing public schools.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And if you're listening right now and you're saying, I'd love to send my kid to Catholic school, but I can't even pay my rent or my mortgage right now, talk to your local Catholic school. Talk to the pastor and make a case. You never know. There are people in your parish, your community, and quite often they do it anonymously. They might even help you out. You might not even know it. So see what you can do. There are very generous souls out there, and I think the schools will do what they can. All right. Who is on deck, Patrick? Who's up next? John and Roberto and San Pedro, I think. Robert, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I know time is short. I have now two comments. First, you were talking before about the parents' inability to have input into the curriculum of public schools.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised mm-hmm. Catholic and went to Catholic school. I can't imagine a Catholic school allowing parents to determine the curriculum of the Catholic educational program. Right? They're the authority. They would be doing the teaching, not the parents. And my second concern, and then I can let you go, you just mentioned about cost. One reason we have public schools in this country is because most people simply cannot, forget the old car in Disney World, most people simply cannot afford that expensive education. And the fact that we are not doing all we can to provide everyone with good education, and you know, is really putting the energy where it's needed, as opposed to strengthening the increasing the dualism, the dichotomy between the two.
Sure. Robert, great points. I only have about a minute left. So, Dr. Farnan, I'll give you the final thoughts.
Yeah, the animated, I mean, I've had my kids in Catholic schools for, you know, the last 20 plus years. And the driving ethic is that the parents are the primary educators of their children, that the school will work with them. So I have found nothing but cooperation from the schools. And you're right, there are certain things that are non-negotiable. You are going to go to religion class. If you don't like it, you move your child to another school. But your last comment about the cost of education is exactly why everybody needs to get involved in this. And there's no, education is never value neutral. And at this point, the values that are being taught in public schools are antithetical to Christianity, and as well as Catholicism, any person of faith. And so this is an imperative for us.
Doctor, thank you. Thanks for your time. Best way to track you down, personidentity.com. If they want to get your book, is that a good resource as well?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you. Drew. Always a delight. I always enjoy our time together. We'll catch up again soon. Keep up your good work. We need you. All right. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You got it. God bless you. We'll pray for you. Chaplet's coming right up. If you want to join me, just one or two lines open. You can get in now.